Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on this Wednesday. Hope everybody's having a good day thus far. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe with you. Let's start the hour talking some Tennessee Titans. The 8-2 Tennessee Titans, a guy who's been covering them for a long time. Now you can find his work at TennesseeTitans.com. He's Jim Wyatt. He's on the line with us. Jim, it's going to be a special day on Sunday as the Titans host the Texans. One, it's an opportunity to grab another win and get to 9-2 on the season. But the festivities that will take place certainly are near and dear to our hearts here at 102.5 The Game. And two guys are going to get recognized and honored that you worked closely with for many, many years when you were on the beat at the Tennessean.
Yes, it will be a special day. And I just talked to Jeff Fisher about 30, 45 minutes ago just about his feelings on the subject and how excited he is about coming back and all the memories that will, you know, be stirred up inside of him when he's putting the ring of honor. And I wish I could talk to Floyd Reese. I mean, that's the sad part about it, that he's not going to be here to kind of experience it for himself. I was able to talk to his wife, Sally, on Monday just about her feelings and the legacy that he left behind, which was a great one. Both of these gentlemen so deserving of being put in a situation where they're going to be remembered forever. They were going to be anyway, but the fact that they're in the Ring of Honor, I think this gives you a chance to further celebrate what they did. Both of them had such a big role in really helping put the Titans on the map. You know, Floyd with his talent, in evaluating talent and finding the right players to build the culture and the program here, and then Jeff Fisher with the ability to kind of coach them and be such a great person in drumming up interest in the community and the fan base. So and they did it together. So it's fitting that they are going to be recognized together. Just wish again that Floyd was going to be here, you know, for the big day, because I think you know, probably as you get older and you look back, when you're in the minute and in the moment working, you're just trying to win a game, trying to build a roster. You know, it's just life consuming, and I'm sure it was for those guys now. And then once your career's over with and you look back, I think you realize just how impactful that was. And fans will get a chance to celebrate them, and I know Floyd will be looking down, probably with a smile on his face.
No doubt. And this is really like the second wave in Titans history since they've been in this market, because after Jeff Fisher and Floyd Reese, there was a real dip, a lull in the franchise's history here, and a lot more bad times than good times. And this is kind of where the wave has come back around, where there's been a whole lot of success in the last 5 years. And so and it's interesting because, you know, you wouldn't compare Mike Vrabel to Jeff Fisher, right? They're different. They operate in a different fashion, but they both got results. Floyd and John Robinson, Floyd was probably much more of a mentor for John Robinson, but I would think they're a little bit closer, maybe. Still think there's big differences. I don't know how you think. I want you to weigh in on it. But it is interesting because this is kind of like the second wave, the next time that they've been really good where they've been able to sustain it since Jeff Fisher and Floyd Reese weren't running things.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they you know, Floyd and Jeff, I mean, they had a great window, created such a great window for this franchise to win Super Bowls and to really – have some memorable years. And, you know, that resulted in two AFC championship game appearances. It resulted in a Super Bowl appearance. It resulted in, you know, some marquee players getting recognition, whether that's from Pro Bowl seasons or all pro seasons. And really the Titans were a true contender for a long stretch there when the team first moved to Nashville. And now you look at what John Robinson and Mike Vrabel been able to do. You know, we're back in one of those windows where, you know, you're going to the playoffs and going to AFC championship games. You've got a legitimate chance to get to a Super Bowl and to win one, and you're doing it with some elite talent that are really have become household names, not only in Nashville but across the country. So, and I look at the way these Titans play, and it reminds me of some of those teams, just with the kind of tough, hard-nosed approach, ability to win close games, finding a way to win. Well, I see some similarities certainly from that era from 99 to 2003 that went beyond that, but that was the height of it, and I think we're right in the middle of and hopefully it will extend for years to come, but I think we're certainly at the beginning of a long stretch here in Nashville where you're seeing the similar things.
Have you tried to figure out how Mike Vrabel and his staff are doing this? Because at time, it's mind-blowing. I mean, we talk about this team so much every week, and it seems like other than the results, not much goes their way, right? Every time you think, well, okay, so-and-so's out, it's time for this, you know, it's time for Julio Jones to get back in the mix, and, you know, he's not back in the mix. Okay, Bud Dupree's coming along finally. Man, he's just going to get better and better every week. Oh, now he's out with an abdominal strain. You know, how long is that going to be? It's just like one hit, you know, the Derrick Henry goes without saying, but it's like one hit after another, and yet this team just continues to chug along and just keep winning games. And at times I keep scratching my head going, how in the hell are they doing this?
It really is remarkable. I mean, and Dylan Cole, maybe the latest example, a guy nobody heard of until Sunday, and then he makes, you know, a big hit and forces a fumble in what turned out to be one of the bigger plays of the game that got him an early touchdown, and the Titans end up holding on. And that's kind of been happening all year. I mean, guys have gone down, other guys have stepped up. You do have to wonder how much more you can take. I mean, this is an offense, again, that's now without Derrick Henry, without Julio Jones. We've seen this offensive line, you know, get banged up and had guys had to step in. And defensively certainly have taken some losses as well and have played well during a really, really difficult stretch. You hope that, that these injuries will slow down and they'll quit happening, and then as the season goes on, you'll start getting guys back and they can stay back. But, it really has been incredible, and I think that's just part of the culture that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel have created, where they don't want to hear about excuses. You know, they expect guys, when they're called upon, to do their job, and that has been happening, and I think that's a sign of a really good team.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot, and you can talk it through out loud because I'm putting you on the spot because you haven't had time to think about it, okay? I'm going to ask you some difficult positions to hand out a first-half award because of all the turnover and injuries and everything that we just talked about. So let's start with the offensive line. If you had to pick one offensive lineman to give, you know, to basically say he was your first half MVP, where would you go with that?
I would probably go Ben Jones, just because he has – I always think he's maybe the most underrated guy on that line, and he just consistently plays through injuries and kind of is a tone setter on that group. You know, they've had, again, guys in and out. They've had guys deal with injuries, but, you know, Ben has been there all the way through and is – again, I think he's one of these guys that people look to, just a tough-minded player. And I think he's played well, too. So I'm going Ben Jones on the O-line.
Okay. Who is your first-half MVP at linebacker?
I would have to say David Long. And I know he's one of these guys that's been injured right now. And I'm talking inside backer now. Because, you know, if you're talking outside backer, I don't know how we couldn't go with Harold Landry. But inside backer, I'd say David Long leads the team in tackles. Has just consistently made plays.
Yeah, I want to kind of lump, like, D-line and defensive end. So I kind of want to consider outside linebacker more D-end because I wanted to lump them together. So let's go there then. So everybody
on the
defensive line lumped together, who's your first half MVP?
Yeah, this is the toughest one yet because you got a guy in Jeffrey Simmons who has just been really, really disruptive. Five sacks in the last two games, but I think I'd have to go Harold Landry because he's been, sitting here at 10 sacks after 10 games, just consistently been a guy that puts pressure on the quarterback. I'd have to go Landry there.
Okay. Not named Kevin Byard, not Byard. Who would be your first half MVP in the secondary, not named Byard?
That was going to be a layup for me there, but it's just fired out of the equation. I think it still is. I'm going Christian Fulton there. Even though he's been hurt and missed some time, I'm also basing it on what I've seen so far and projecting what I think is going to happen moving forward.
Okay. That's an interesting one. All right. First half MVP at tight end.
I think you have to go I would have thought it would be Anthony Firkser, but he just hasn't been as productive. I have to say Jeff Swaim, which is a surprising pick just because he's been called upon to do more, and I think he's been pretty good.
Okay. Yeah. I think my answer would be Mycole Pruitt. I think he has been, for them to get him back and what he's done, I tell you what, I've been really impressed with him. So I think both answers are good ones, but I'd probably go Pruitt. Okay. How about first half MVP at wide receiver?
A.J. Brown.
Still A.J. Brown, okay. I thought about taking him out, but I'm like, but he's also been hurt a lot. And I just wanted to see where you would go with that. So you still say A.J. Brown?
Yeah, because I just don't know who you go in his place. I mean, it can't be Julio Jones. It can't be Josh Reynolds, who's no longer here.
Let's take him out. Who would you answer if I said you can't say Brown? Who would you answer with?
I'd probably say Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, even though his stats are somewhat, they don't jump off the page at you. But I think as far as guys that have just stepped up for you and been pretty consistent, I think that's where I would go.
Jim Wyatt is with us, TennesseeTitans.com. Marcus Johnson has also been impressive. When his numbers called last week, he had the 100-yard day receiving. I've been impressed with him.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he was the best. He was really the team's best receiver during training camp. And I kind of thought that days like we saw on Sunday were going to be happening a lot early. One reason or another, that didn't happen. He was dealing with the injury himself. He was dealing with him trying to really get Julio Jones in the mix, and that just never really took. But I think now that he's going to be settled in for a while with Julio out, I expect Marcus Johnson to be a big factor here in the weeks to come. Really like him, I think. And I think obviously Tannehill has a lot of confidence in him as well.
I'm curious to see what happens with Des Fitzpatrick, too, now that he's gotten another chance. He's back on the roster. He had the one catch for no yards, but I think we had Teron Davenport on Monday, and he said for him it's all about confidence and just building up his confidence, and that's honestly what I want to see. But I still think there's some talent there. It's just you got to figure out how to tap that.
Yeah, I agree, and it's about confidence, and then it's about opportunities, and I think his confidence is growing. Everybody was kind of raving, and I think you treat guys, you kind of try to find what guys react to. I mean, obviously he struggled when he first got here, and I think he was maybe feeling the pressure a little bit. Vrabel, I think at some point during camp said he needed to step it up or need to see more out of him, and then he got released and put back the practice squad. And I think a lot of people felt like he was a bust or felt like he was failing to live up to expectations, and then he just continue to kind of work on the practice squad, and he has gotten better. I do think, there were a lot of people raving about him last week, from Vrabel to teammates, and I think that's the approach they're trying now, is to try to build him up and to try to get him feeling good about himself. I don't know that he's going to, I'm not necessarily expecting him to be a huge factor down the stretch, but he is a guy that they can maybe count on in certain situations to make some plays for him. And I think that's a step in the right direction.
Do you? I know Mike was asked about this, I think, last week, but do you feel that they need either Foreman, McNichols, or Peterson to kind of take the reins and be the lead back, or do you think that this running back by committee is working well enough that, you know, as Foreman and Peterson especially get comfortable in the offense, that they can just get by with that?
Yeah, I think that's the way it's going to be for the time being until somebody really establishes themselves. I personally think they'd be better off if they did have one back who got the work, you know, got the majority of the workload, just because you can get some chemistry I think it helps everybody when you kind of have one guy in there like Derek. There's not going to be another Derek, but I think if you have one player who gets into a little bit of a rhythm, that's better. But until that happens, and certainly it hasn't happened yet, I think you're going to see more of a running back by committee approach. I think McNichols is probably always going to end up being that third down situational back. So I think it's either Foreman or Peterson that's going to potentially evolve into a heavier workload. And based on what I've seen so far, I mean, I think Foreman is probably the guy who I think is in a position to do that right now. But I do think Peterson will get better the more comfortable he gets, the more, you know, better condition he gets. So I'm kind of anxious to see it. And I'm anxious to see these guys. You know, both these guys have faced really good run defenses the last two weeks in the Rams and the Saints. So now that the schedule's changing, the defense are changing, I'm really curious to see how this is going to look.
Last one for you. Derek Roberson activated off IR with the uncertainty with Bud Dupree and his abdominal injury. How big is it to have Roberson back?
I think it's big. I mean, he was one of the guys that stood out to me a lot during the preseason as well. Kind of like Marcus Johnson. I thought he was good in camp. They raved about him. Then he had a setback, and he's kind of been working his way back ever since. How much he'll be needed kind of remains to be seen. A lot's going to hinge on Bud, but I think just the more guys you can kind of get in a rotation, the more you can spell guys, you know, the better off you are. And he's capable of making some splash plays and getting in the backfield a little bit himself. So that's a good development.
Well, Jim, I appreciate the time, Bo.
Okay, I love hearing the Bo. Yeah, certainly how Floyd pretty much referred to anybody, and certainly missed him.
The first time he called me Chase, I thought I'd won something. I was like, man, I'm in now. I'm in with the GM. He knows my name.
Well, he called me a lot of things when I was covering the beat for the Tennessee, and some of them weren't great. But so when he called me Bo, I felt good about that.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, appreciate it, Jim. We'll talk soon.
Okay, y'all have a good week. Thank you.
Jim Wyatt, TennesseeTitans.com. And if you have not read his article at TennesseeTitans.com, he has a great interview with Sally, Floyd's wife, and really good stuff on the late, great GM Floyd Reese. We'll have more coming here on the other side of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.